Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I begin the sermon, it's very appropriate today I share something with you. I don't say that often. Thank you for the privilege of being your pastor, the privilege of loving and caring for you and also to receive your love and care too. It's important to remind ourselves of that as we consider the theme for the sermon today. Would you read it with me? Love is not just a feeling. Based on the Old Testament reading that our elder Henry Chung read for us, Deuteronomy 30, listen to the verse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days. I invite you to follow the sermon outline provided for you in your handout as we consider this very important theme, love is not just a feeling. Now, ladies and girls, you may listen to these following words if you want to. But these comments are meant especially for the gentlemen and boys in the congregation. Today is Sunday, February 12th. What's Tuesday? And don't say the 14th. Tuesday is Valentine's Day. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to take care of mama and wife and sweetheart and grandmother? The tradition of Valentine's Day comes from a source many people in our world aren't even aware of. The tradition of giving cards and gifts and candies on Valentine's Day comes from a time just shortly after our Lord Jesus walked this earth. There was a man of Roman nobility whose name was Valentinus, in Latin, in English, Valentine. He was thrown into a Roman prison because of his faith and witness of his Lord Jesus Christ. And from his prison cell in Rome, awaiting his execution, he wrote letters and sent gifts to those whom he loved. And he signed every one of these letters in this way: Love, your Valentine. And from this reality of an historical event comes the modern practice of giving cards and candies and flowers to our loved ones. And I imagine that many people in our world don't even realize that Valentine's Day, like Christmas, like Easter, like Halloween, all these holidays have their roots in Christian tradition. By the way, you women and girls can also give gifts of love to those important men and boys in your life on Valentine's Day. At the very least, Valentine's Day makes our world pause and consider one of God's greatest gifts to mankind, the gift of love. Today's Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, I quote, said, loving the Lord your God, holding fast unto Him, for He is your life. And Jesus Himself said in John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in my love. And how has Jesus loved us? Once again, please look at the cross. The real definition of love is sacrifice. Giving up my rights for the needs of another. Love is an act of the will, not just what we have turned it into, an emotion or a feeling. Some time ago, singer Tina Turner had a popular song that promoted the false idea that love is just an emotion. The title of the song is, What's Love Got to Do with It? Here are just some words from that song. You must understand, though the touch of your hand makes my pulse react, that it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl. What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? What's love but a sweet, old-fashioned notion? Say it with me again, would you? Love is not just a feeling. How important for each of us here today is true and lasting love. How the world around us today is seeking and yearning for true and lasting love. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in my love. But sadly today, a false understanding of love leads so many people to disappointment. This is true in all walks of life. From a teenager's first crush to singles looking for love in all the wrong places. To married folks trying to keep the love alive. To those who are alone by death or divorce, so lonely, looking desperately to be loved. Many people today have a false concept of love. They confuse love with infatuation, love with physical attraction, love with warm feelings, love with sex. The truth is, and none of us here today can disagree, the reality of life often leads us to disappointments. Things are not always the way we dream they would be. Sin is real, and one of the realities of sin is that people will hurt you, and you will hurt others. Physical attraction fades. Emotional excitement goes up and down. There are numerous tragic consequences with the result of building on a false understanding of love. But the truth of the Bible is this. Real love avoids disappointment and leads us to life as God intends. 1 John 4:8 says very simply, God is love. What does that mean? Simply this. We must look to God to see what real love is all about. Look not into your own heart, into the eyes of another, into feelings or experiences or TV shows, movies, or popular songs. Look instead to the very nature and actions of God. When we look there, we find the definition of love. And it's on your sermon outline. What is love? An act of the will that sacrifices oneself for the needs of another. I say it again. Love is an act of the will that sacrifices oneself for the needs of another. Almighty God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinful mankind, to die for you and for me, to pay the price for our sin. 1 John 4:9 says this, by this the love of God was made clear to us, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through Him. Did you catch it? Almighty God loved the unlovable, you and me, even when we did not love Him. This shows us that love is not just a feeling, a choice, an act of the will, a commitment. 1 John 4:10 says this, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment for our sins. Jesus, in love and obedience to His Heavenly Father, gave Himself on the cross to pay for your sins. Thank God to pay for mine, to make us friends with Almighty God. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, but that He would lay down His life for his friends. Now, most of us have memorized that most famous of Bible passages about love, John 3:16. And if you want to, say it with me this morning. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, many of us have memorized the 16th verse. But what about the 17th verse? For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world would be saved through him. These two verses show us the very heart of God. He loves, he gives, he saves. Now, as a preacher, I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I do it Sunday after Sunday to the best of the ability that God gives me. But what do I see Sunday after Sunday? Let me tell you what I see from the pulpit. Some people act as if they just don't care. What I see from the pulpit in the span of 20 minutes is often this. I've made a list. Some people fall asleep. Some people aren't paying attention. Some people are talking with somebody else. Others are reading the announcements in the bulletin. Some people are walking in and out of the sanctuary more than a few times. What should I do? Get angry? Tell people off? Speak judgment? No. God will deal with his people. The message from this pulpit has to be Jesus' sacrificial love that only changes hearts. As his love is proclaimed, faith is strengthened, and faith in Jesus' love brings real results. As each of us, children and youth and adults, grow to better understand and trust Jesus' love, we are free. Freed to not only look after number one and my own desires, freed with the confidence that my Heavenly Father is looking after me, freed to sacrifice my wants for somebody else's needs, freed to share his love with others. Real love is possible as we are connected to Jesus' sacrificial love. I wasn't planning to share this in the sermon, but many of you know that Monday is the day I take off. Usually, we just like to goof around and get away from people. But tomorrow, I have a date for coffee with one of the neighbors in our neighborhood, our townhouse complex, whose wife just informed him, "I don't love you anymore, and I'm leaving." This man who, with all intents and purposes, doesn't know the Savior or God's love, needs to have a cup of coffee tomorrow to remind him of God's love for him in the midst of his heartache. We are freed as God's people to look after others in love because we know we've been loved first. 1 John 4:19 puts it this way, we love because he loved us first. Did you catch that? He first loved us. He first loved us. He first loved us. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 5. For when we were still without strength, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will for a righteous man anyone die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come with me this morning to the cross, won't you? Look fully into the eyes of Jesus, paying for and dying for your sin. Look fully into the eyes of love. Look fully into the eyes of him who gave himself for you. On that old rugged cross, your sins were washed away with the blood of Jesus. And that old rugged cross, you have been made righteous in the sight of a holy and almighty God. On that old rugged cross, see what love is. We've said it before, we'll say it again. Real love is an act of the will that sacrifices oneself for the needs of another. My friends, we are incomplete in our love. On our own, we don't love others as we ought. But our loving God has more good news for us today. By the Spirit of the living God dwelling in our heart because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we can grow in both trusting His love for us and as a result in our ability to love others. 1 John 4 puts it this way. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, his love is perfected within us. As we abide and remain connected with the risen Lord, and more importantly, as he abides in us and holds on to us, his love is made perfect in us. This means we can grow and mature in his love for us and in our ability to love others. This means we can give to others what everybody in this sinful world needs more than anything else: God's forgiving, healing, and eternal love. And dear Lord, in a special way, love and care for those people whom this ambulance goes to care for right now. God's love does make a difference in our life. I imagine, and here as we get to the end of our sermon, it's time to bring this sermon home. I imagine you can name in your heart right now the name of at least one person that you need to love. A person for whom you can sacrifice your wants for their needs. Someone that's hard to love for you. Who is that person in your life? As you think of that person, I'll end the sermon with a story. The time was World War I. Two boyhood friends were serving together in the forces. They were with thousands of others who were in the muddy, cold dugout trenches spread all over the battlefield in Germany. These were Canadian boys who grew up together on nearby farms. From time to time, the soldiers would be ordered to leave their trenches to go over the top and attack the enemy by crossing an expanse of death and destruction called no man's land. On one horrible attack, James fell, severely wounded. His friend William made it back to the trenches. Meanwhile, James lay suffering in the open area, crying out for help all alone. The fighting continued, and no man's land was nowhere to be. Still, William wanted to go to his friend James, if nothing else to comfort him, hopefully to rescue him. But the officer in charge would not give William permission to leave the trenches. It was just too dangerous. But against all orders, when the officer turned his back, William went over the top, climbed out of the trench, and ran to where his boyfriend James lay in agony. Somehow he managed to get James back to the safety of the trench. But it was too late. His friend was gone. He died. The officer, seeing James' lifeless body, turned to William sarcastically and said, "Well, was it worth the risk?" William responded without hesitation, "Yes, sir, it was worth it. Because my friend's last words to me made it more than worth it. He looked up to me and said, 'I knew that you would come for me. My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ has come, and he's come for you, and he's come for me. He would not let anything prevent him from coming to us, from dying for us, from rising for us, from saving us from the powers of sin, death, and devil. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus lived up to his own words about love when he said, "Greater love has no one than this," but that he would lay down his life for his friends. As God tells us by the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." As John of the New Testament tells us, we love because God has first loved us. Love is much more than a feeling. So to swipe Tina Turner's question, what's love got to do with it? Everything. In the name of Jesus, who loved us first. Amen.